I'm going to invite you, if you have your Bibles or if the Bibles you have are on a device of some sort, to please turn to Matthew chapter 6 this morning as I share a message with you from that text today. As you're flipping those pages or scrolling through your device to find that, I want to invite you to stand with me one more time as we read the Word of God together. Be in Matthew chapter 6, we're going to read verse 25, and then we're going to read verse 34. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? And then off down to verse 34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you again. We don't apologize for praying so much because we realize that in our prayer we are communicating with you, and we are asking you now as we come to your word that you would help us to understand. God, would you speak to us in such a way that we can hear your voice, your spirit communicating with our spirit. As we hear that word, would you allow us to understand it and apply it to our life? As we seek to understand, I pray that that word would seep to the deepest parts of our soul and that that word would grow and produce life in us and life in those around us. Finally, this morning, God, I pray that you would make us courageous people. Give us the courage to do what you've asked us to do and to be the people you've asked us to be. Thank you, God, for the power of your word and for the power of being together in Jesus' name. Can you agree one more time and say amen? Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I want to share with you today a message entitled, Please Don't Worry. Please don't worry. Now let me give you, in terms as part of my introduction, let me give you where the title of the message comes from. It's actually very, very personal, and I'm going to share with you a moment in my life very recently where God simply but profoundly spoke these words to me. He spoke them to my life. He communicated, as he does through the power of the Holy Spirit, from his spirit to my spirit, these exact words, please don't worry. And the title of the message, as I've alluded to, is verbatim what I heard God speak to my spirit a few weeks ago. It wasn't necessarily profound or theologically deep, but it wasn't just a simple suggestion either. It was spoken by the gentle, authoritative voice of the Holy Spirit. As it was spoken, it was heard by my spirit as I was simply praying. And it was confirmed in God's word as he impressed upon me to go to Matthew chapter 6 and to reread this section, because a couple of weeks earlier I had begun reading Matthew as I prepared to come up to the Easter season. And so in God's very special, specific way, he spoke to me in a way that I could not deny and I could not bypass nor just simply release. He spoke and he said, please don't worry. And then he confirmed it in his word with Matthew chapter 6 verse 25. As I reread, maybe a scripture I've read, I don't know how many times in my lifetime, but I went back to Matthew 6 25 and I read the words, therefore I tell you, do not worry. Has anybody else ever heard those words? Anyone? How many husbands will admit, because that husband-wife relationship is very, very unique, and how many husbands have said it maybe this way? Maybe you didn't say, honey, sweetheart, baby, whatever you call your bride. Maybe you didn't say, honey, please don't worry. Maybe you said it like this, guys, and don't you dare get bashful or shy on me. Maybe you said it this way. Babe, why are you freaking out? Or maybe dudes, I'm picking on you for a minute. Maybe, dude, you said, sweetheart, will you just calm down? Has that worked good for any guy in this house ever? Telling your wife to calm down? No? Yeah, me either. So let's just move past the whole thing. How many of you, maybe in a more compassionate, godly, biblical moment where you chose right instead of choosing poorly, said to someone in your life, maybe it was your wife or your partner, your significant other, your children, a coworker, a friend, and you just approached them and said, man, please don't worry. It's amazing what a word like that can bring to a really crazy situation. Proverbs will call a word like that a word spoken timely, like it's fitted in gold and silver. It's a calm word that can dispense anger. It's a wise word given in season that can immediately change a situation. Please don't worry. Well, as I read Matthew chapter 6, I began to ask myself this question. What does that really mean? What does that word really mean? Do not worry. Because Jesus uses it several times just in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 through 34 here. And so I began to ask the question, what does this word really mean and how can I apply this to my life in a specific way that God is speaking to me? I'm guessing that when I say this word worry, that we all have our own very... Remember that word association game we played earlier? And so we're going to play it again. When I say worry, what probably happens in your mind and in your maybe your gut or maybe your spirit somewhere, you think of a whole bunch of different words that make you respond in different ways when I say this word worry. If I asked us to define it according to our English language, all of us could probably define it in a way that would get really, really close to what the dictionary actually says the word means. Now, our stories and our versions of how the word has impacted us is a much different story. Some of us in the building might describe ourselves as the worrier in the couple or the worrier in the relationship. Others of us might say, well, I'm more of the free spirit and worry just isn't kind of what I do. I just go with the flow and I do the stuff and I do the things and whatever happens, happens. Good for you. I'm probably, my wife isn't here to affirm or deny, but I'm probably the worrier in the relationship. So I can relate well to that side. My wife is a beautiful, free spirit, and she's the better half of the relationship by far. Her faith is greater than mine. Her trust is bigger than mine. It's a good pairing in my estimation. But I'm the worrier, so I relate. My point in all this is this. How we interact with worry is different as each and every one of you are different from one another. But even though our interaction with worry is different, the Bible says something very specific about worry that every single one of us can apply to our life. That's the beauty of the Word of God. And so the question that we ought to be asking is biblically, what does God's Word mean when it tells us do not worry? So let's jump into that for just a second until we move into some of the application that I would like to present to you this morning. Let's look at the word. What does the word biblically mean when it tells us in Matthew chapter 6, do not worry? Some of your translations may say, do not be anxious. And those are two very similar words appropriately translated in your version of the Bible. Do not worry or do not be anxious. The English word for worry, as I mentioned before, can be defined by probably all of us. So we're not going to read what the dictionary says in English about worry. What we are going to look at is what the Greek says about this word worry. Matthew 6, 25. Do not worry. The Greek definition of that word, first, the Greek word is merimnao. Merimnao. That's the Greek word. And that Greek word, very simply translated, means to be anxious or to care for. That's the most simple meaning of that word, to be anxious or to care for. We see a very good example of this word in a positive context when we read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 25 in the ESV version. Remember, this word means to care for or to be, to be anxious or to care for. So it carries a positive and negative definition and application. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 25, Paul tells the church in Corinth that the members have the same care for one another. That word care is the same Greek word that I just shared with you a moment ago, merimno. It's that they would be able to care for one another. And then later in Philippians chapter 2, verse 19 through 20, again in the ESV, Paul is writing a letter to Timothy, and he says these words to Timothy, where he will use that Greek word merimno. He says, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon. Speaking to the Philippians, I'm sorry for that error, so that I may be cheered by news of you. Listen to this part now. For I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. That word concerned is the Greek word merimno, which means to care for. Now we've got to deal with this part of the word that means to be anxious, because this word carries a negative application and a positive application. The positive application, as I've just mentioned in Corinthians and Philippians, is that the ability of somebody to care for someone else, to be concerned for the well-being of someone else. In Corinthians, specifically to the church, being able to care for one another despite their differences. The word merimno. Now we get into a spot where we need to build out our understanding of this word a little bit more so we can understand the context of Matthew chapter 6. So as we build our understanding of the word, worry, in the Greek, we understand, as I've mentioned earlier, there is this positive side and this negative side or application of the word. Among other understandings of this word, perhaps we need to take this one to heart and consider this. In terms of care, in terms of caring for one another, in terms of caring for the needs of each other, I'm wondering if there's somebody out there who might agree with me that we don't always care well. We don't always care properly. Does anybody want to paddle in that canoe with me today? Anybody at all? Want to paddle in that canoe and say, yes, I'm nodding, or I'm affirming, raising a hand that says, sometimes I do not care well. Or in biblical sense, I don't care properly. Sometimes our quote-unquote care is an excuse to be overbearing and controlling. Sometimes our quote-unquote care potentially leads us to have an increase in our anxiety, an increase in our stress, and it creates unreasonable and sometimes unmet expectations, which causes our anxiety to do something else and causes our worry to do something else. And cause it's this crazy, crazy ball, this crazy, crazy cycle. Sometimes our ability or choice, rather, not to care, quote unquote, well, leads to discord and division. Sometimes when we care improperly, we generate offense. And on that very negative list might go. And sometimes we have to recognize that we don't care or show care of the appropriate things. Sometimes our quote-unquote care is misplaced or misaligned, and we believe that showing care is shown by the physical things that we give or that we want, or the things that we accumulate. We have misaligned priorities, when perhaps our care should be proven by the way we show compassion. or should be proven by the way we talk, or our care should be proven by the words that we use, because words are important, or by taking the words of Jesus seriously when he tells us, do not worry. Matthew 6:25-34, in this section, actually covers the practical implication of the preceding discussion that Jesus has in verses 19 through 24. I'll summarize that for us briefly this morning. Basically, he says, do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth where moth and rust destroy and decay, but prepare for yourself treasures in heaven. So Jesus spends a little bit of time talking about money and things and stuff. He goes on to say things like, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Jesus makes a point to say that no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate one and love the other, or despise one and love the other. That you cannot be devoted to one and have allegiance to another, because your devotion to one automatically means that you despise the other. He would end that whole section by saying you cannot serve both God and money. He calls it out just like it is. Now, I'm not here to preach about money, but money's something that we need to preach about sometimes. And the lesson we're taking from this is simply, we should not put our trust in things. We should put our trust in God. Now, money pays the bills, so how do we do that? We trust God to provide the money to pay the bills. We trust God that the money that we have is a blessing straight from Him. We've been asked to manage it. We've been asked to steward it. And so we do that with a measure of certainty, with certain actions and behavior that say, God, this is a blessing you blessed me with, and now I will take that blessing and bless others, because that's what you have called us to do. Okay, I'm looking at people right now that are almost glaring at me. So stop glaring at me, because I'm preaching about money today. Stop glaring at me. How many of you know this is true? We cannot love God and love money. We must love God. We must seek first His kingdom, and all these things will be added unto us. Money is not the evil thing. It's when we have a love of the money when it becomes an evil thing, to say it succinctly and simply like the Word of God says. All right, we're going to get past this part really, really quick, because I'm losing lots of you fast. My point in mentioning all of this is simply that God follows up this discussion about worry right after He talked about money and stuff and things. So I may be walking on eggshells here, but I'm going to put on a size 14 shoe and I'm going to just start crunching on some eggshells, okay? Because when we're honest with one another, when I'm honest with myself and communicate this to you, a lot of my worry revolves around money. Anybody else? Nope? Okay. I'm going to turn this way and preach to myself. No, I know it to be true because I've had a lot of conversations with people about this. And Jesus makes a specific point to talk about it. Now, money's not the only thing I worry about. Sometimes I worry about the well-being of my family. Sometimes I worry about the state of our world and the uncertainty that our world is facing. Sometimes I worry about the situation in Ukraine. Sometimes I worry about the situation in Congo. Sometimes I worry about the situation across the globe where Christians are being murdered every single day. Sometimes I worry about the state of China. Sometimes I worry about the countries that are flying under the radar. Sometimes I worry about this stuff. And I don't know if you're with me or not, but it's kind of irrelevant at this point. I'm sharing with you what God spoke to me. Sometimes I worry. Sometimes I worry if I'm going to be able to pastor for the rest of my life like my father has. Sometimes I worry that pastoring is going to become illegal, or that the Word of God is going to become so offensive that I can't say certain things out of here at risk of going to jail. Sometimes I worry about if my family will have to bail me out of jail because I chose to believe God rather than to believe men. Sometimes I worry about this stuff. And yet God speaks to me in the quietest moments of my life, and He says so simply, yet so authoritatively, do not worry. Eddie, don't worry. Do not worry. And I'm convinced He speaks the same thing to you. when you worry about your stuff and your bills and your things and your family and the stuff that revolves in your head. I trust, I know that God speaks the same word to you. Please don't worry. So when Jesus talks about worry, it's powerful, it's poignant, it's applicable to every day that we live and breathe. Do not be concerned to the point of anxiety. Do not scan so minutely that it leads you to be anxious beyond measure and come to unreasonable conclusions. The definition of this word goes on to use this word, cumbered about with. Do not be so cumbered about with the things that you are concerned about or mulling over that they can, control your decisions and your outlook on life. Jesus is saying with this word, do not let the thoughts that should just be thoughts tie you up into long, overbearing conversation with yourself in your head about every plausible income, most of which will never come true if you just make a decision about something. I'm not sure, but I'm looking at a few people who are laughing right now, which I'm thankful for, because I know I'm not the only one. So somebody please, as I mentioned earlier, paddle in this canoe with me. How many of you have done this? I have a situation. I have a situation with this person. And this situation is going to require probably a certain degree of confrontation. And so as I anticipate the certain conversation that will require a certain amount of confrontation, I begin to run through all of the scenarios for which I need to generate appropriate responses. So if this person says this, I will be ready to say that. And if this person says that, I will be ready to say this. And if this person doesn't say anything or say amen at my sermon on Sunday morning, I will keep saying this or that and keep preaching. If this person doesn't do whatever, I am prepared on every level, every possible scenario that I can generate in my head to keep the upper hand, to keep the high ground in the conversation, because I've got to win this conversation. And you run through all of those possible scenarios. You exhaust all the possible scenarios and find yourself worn out, mentally exhausted, and needing to go take a nap. But instead, you encounter the person when you need a nap, and then the whole situation never transpires the way you thought it would. You say something, they say something, you hug, you go get coffee, and things work out just fine. And all of those possible situations, you didn't have to fret over. Now, how many of us know that there's a lot more scenarios where that doesn't happen? That's the good ending, right? The point I'm trying to make here is this, is that we can become our own worst enemy. Jesus implies this when he tells us, do not be your own worst enemy. Do not worry. That's the fullness of this word. This is the big idea meaning of this word. I'm going to paraphrase some of the things Jesus says here in Matthew chapter 6 as we wind down today. This is what I heard when Jesus walked me through those moments of worry. I felt Jesus speak to me. Jesus saying, I don't want you to worry. There are things that deserve your care and your attention, and some things more than others, but please don't worry. Please don't stress. Please do not be anxious. And then I remembered the word in the Bible that says, be anxious for nothing, But with all prayer and supplication, make your request be made known to God. And then I heard Jesus just continue to communicate with me. Pray and make your request known to God. And I remember him vividly saying to me in my spirit, we will push through these things together. But Eddie, please, don't worry. And as beautiful as that may sound to you, and as appropriate and beautiful as it sounded to me, the reality of this whole issue is this: we worry. I still worry. Even though Jesus lovingly tells me not to worry, I worry. I stress. I overthink. Sometimes I become overbearing. Sometimes I don't show care properly. Sometimes I just straight out care improperly. I don't get it right every time. I worry. Even when I don't want to, even when I don't have to, sometimes I worry. And then I'm reminded that Jesus says, don't worry. And then I'm reminded that it's a part of who we are. Each in varying degree and difficulty. Worry is a part of who we are. It's part of the struggle with the flesh and the spirit. Unfortunately for some of us, no, unfortunately for all of us, it's a part of human existence. It's part of the human experience. You worry. How do I know this to be true? Well, I know I worry because I do it. How do I know that you worry? Because I've seen you do it. I've talked to you while you're trying to work through it. I've seen your posts on Facebook and Instagram that allude to the fact that you're going through it and that the stress is there and the worry is there. Even more so, I know it because it's part of the human experience. I know it's part of the human experience. Why? Because Jesus says something about it. If Jesus didn't know it was part of the human experience, he never would have said anything about it. He never would have told us not to worry if he knew that we would have an inclination to worry. He never would have told us not to be anxious about anything, but by prayer and supplication, make our requests known to God. If he didn't already know that we were going to be anxious about some things and troubled about some things, he already knew that there were going to be spikes in the anxiety and lows in the stress and lows in the depression. He knew that there were going to be spikes and lows in every single area of our life, that sometimes the bills would be paid and sometimes the bills wouldn't be paid, that sometimes the relationship would end well and we would go to coffee and have a grand old day, and then the relationship would end terribly and we wouldn't talk for 10 years. Sometimes he knows the anxiety comes when a child is not serving God or making poor choices. Sometimes we know because the stress comes when we're just trying to try so hard to live on one family income so our bride or our husband can stay home with the kids, when we try so hard to make the ends meet and it just doesn't seem like it's there. I know it exists because of the anxiety and the struggle and the stress in relationships. I know that it happens because it's part of the human existence. I know that Jesus knows all this because he told me not to worry in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Do not worry. And in such beautiful, beautiful words, he says, look at the birds. And they eat. Look at the lilies of the field. How they grow. Jesus would say, if my Father can provide for the birds of the air and the lilies of the field, and you are his master creation, you are the carrier of the breath of life, you and your human existence is so precious to God,
If he cares about the birds and he cares about the flowers, do you not know how much he cares for you? And then Jesus exhorts us with this command: seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be given to you as well. See, that's where it brings us. What are we taking home from this today? Number one, I hope you're taking this home. Say your name, and then say, don't worry. Eddie, don't worry. It starts by saying it because we tend to believe things that we tell ourselves. So say it. Your name, do not worry. Second thing I want you to take home today is this: prayer matters and prayer works. Do not blow off prayer as something trivial. When you come into those moments of worry and anxiety, let me tell you from experience, prayer matters and prayer works. Prayer matters and prayer works. The third thing I want you to take home today is this: God still provides. God still provides. There's a new song. It's being sung here. I've mentioned it, Shireen, and I absolutely love it. When I vacuum, I play it on repeat so many times. There's a portion in that song that basically says, God was faithful then, God will be faithful now. The last thing I want you to take away, the fourth thing is this, was actually in the words of the song that we sang earlier. You are living in the goodness of God. / God is faithful. I pray that the Holy Spirit helps you to apply those things to your life in a way that means something to you. And the last thing I want you to hear me today in this message before I pray: do not worry. God says to you today, we're going to push through this together. Do not worry. Stand with me this morning as we close. Matthew 6:25, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Jesus, help us when we worry. Help us when we stress. Help us when we just don't know what to do. Help us to, as that old hymn would say, lean on the everlasting arms of God. Help us to trust in you and the ways that you provide that are so different oftentimes than our ways. Perhaps at the top of this list is simply to say, Jesus, help me not to worry. I give you my worried thoughts. I give you my anxious thoughts. I give you my troubled thoughts and my stirring thoughts and all of the thoughts and all of the things. And exchange, help me to accept your peace and your care and your comfort. In Jesus' name, amen. I hope that was a blessing to you today. I'm really glad that you came to church today. I'd like us to just maybe get a little excited and break the silence a little bit. Maybe clap to the Lord in a way that says, thank you, God, for your word today. I love you all so very much. I'm really glad you came to church. If you would just love on somebody on your way out, handshake, high five, maybe a hug if it's appropriate. Let somebody know that you are glad to be in church with them today, and you are dismissed. Thank you.